Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about how is it possible to build a society that will be like a family, not only the restricted number of people that we have blood ties with, or not even my friends or neighbors, but in general, a society that will live like a family. Let's think about it on our way to a better life. Be with us, Nitza, please. Yeah. It sounds like everyone's dream. We'd all love to live in a society that's like a family, a warm place where you feel safe, where you can allow yourself and children to walk around freely without being afraid of anyone harming them. As a mother, I'd love that. As a mother, as a woman, it's my dream that the society that I live in will be based on family values, but of a real family that has warmth and love in it. And from here comes the question, because many times I also hear that we're aspiring to reach a place where we will all be as one family. What does it really mean? Is it possible? Can we create such a feeling, the feeling of a family in society? If everyone appreciates family so much, its warmth, the confidence that it gives, the good attitude, that you're accepted as you are, then why not extend its boundaries? Maybe it's not something that we think about at all as something that's possible. Why not? Because we're familiar with very specific concepts that a family has a certain model. It's a biological family. And I feel that you're talking about a family as something else, with different values, with different feelings. And the question is, if we'd like to develop such relations in society, family relations in the Israeli society, wouldn't work. Wouldn't. No. If we talk about any other nation, then I can say that each and every nation does have a certain inclination to be as a family. Not like the nucleus family, but half of it. Everyone feels that he's a part of it to some extent, whereas in the people of Israel, it doesn't exist. We're brothers in times of trouble, that the world wants to destroy us, kill us, and so on for thousands of years, and therefore we feel as a nation. A nation meaning what? As a group of people that are all the time under pressure, that are pressured by all other nations. And were it not for that, we wouldn't call ourselves a nation at all. But we disperse in all directions. And therefore, we can't say that we're like all other nations. All nations have family ties, a family connection, because they genetically come from the same mother and father from back then, from a small village, and then they became a city and a country. Like all nations settled on this planet. We didn't. We're an artificial society that was made from the collection of different nations in ancient Babylon under Abraham, our patriarch. And therefore, there's no connection between us to begin with. But later on came the connection that he lived in Yemen, and I in Eastern Europe, and you I don't know where, and so on, and each one of us. So there is a kind of connection, but these aren't kinds of ties by which we can say that we're part of a certain nation. No. Were it not for the external pressure, we'd disappear. We'd disperse, not wanting to know each other. This is the situation today. Where does this come from? Because we never came from the same genetical mother and father. And therefore, all the closeness that we maybe do feel is because of the problems and the troubles, like brothers in arms. Yeah. Okay, now let's look forward. When we look on the horizon, what kind of society would we like to live in? There's the simile that you frequently give that in the more advanced state, we can and are really worthy of meriting a life in which we will feel not inside my family cell where there are blood ties, but in society in general, when it will be in its more advanced state, will be like a family. So from here comes the question, if we can develop to such a place, can you depict it a bit? What does it mean that people that have no blood ties on the social level, as a society, that in their basis are strangers, but they live as a family? What does it mean that they have a spiritual mother and father? What do you mean? I mean that they have a root, not a corporeal, than a spiritual one. That is one. Meaning that there is a special force that controls them, that takes care of them, that envelops them, that warms them, that keeps them, on condition that they are a part of that root, that they belong to that root. That root is called the upper force, the Creator. In Hebrew, Bore, from the words Bo-ure, come and see. And why is he called that? Because he's in a state of come and see. Bore, Creator, meaning that you can try and reach him, and then you see, you feel him, and this way you become a nation. This is called the nation of the Creator, the people of the Creator. This is what you can be. Besides that, there can be no other connection between you, but to the contrary, you'll be in separation until you disperse altogether. That's the matter of exile, that suddenly the connection that used to be the corporeal, even the corporeal connection, ceased to exist, and everyone dispersed among all nations. Meaning that when the people of Israel were connected in the past, they felt that spiritual mother and father, their common spiritual mother and father, they felt that spiritual force acting in them. Okay, now, after they fell apart, they stopped feeling this force, this feeling. And now we look at our society today. And if we want to awaken this feeling of living like a family, then we actually need to be what? To be aware that there's this one force that's like our mother and father. How do we awaken to feel that we have a common spiritual mother and father? This is what the wisdom of Kabbalah explains about, that there's a special force that can unite us, and then it can bring us to different kinds of achievements. First, to connect, to be as one nation, one people, for us to attain the meaning of life, its purpose in a different way, not as a corporeal, bodily life, but a higher life. It's all possible. What kind of achievements can we reach? Eternal ones. Eternity. Unlimited attainment of life altogether, of our entire existence. Can you elaborate a bit? Life in Israel, what would it look like? What achievements can we achieve? Anyone living in what we call this world, still living in their body, so to speak, knows what is the meaning of life, what does he exist for? And all of his actions, they're all directed, all of them, at connecting with the others. Meaning what? Connecting with others, it means that I help others in reaching connection. Very simple. Until all of us connect as one man and one heart, and in our connection, we discover the Creator and His full intensity. The Creator is the general force of nature that sustains all of nature, the still, vegetative, animate, and the speaking, in one program, in one positive force, tying them together upon the negative force that also exists in nature. Because nature includes two forces in it, the plus and the minus. So the positive force, the plus is the Creator, the negative force, the minus is the force of the ego. And we ourselves need to every time, according to that negative egoistic force that's developing in us, to draw the positive force for them to be balanced. And then we keep nature's formula of love covers for all crimes. And like we see in nature and physics, that in the balance of forces between the plus and the minus, on all levels, between all forces, we achieve a good result. In order to build a biological family, we know what the rules are. That's pretty clear. A man and a woman meet each other, connect, create a family. What do we have to do in order to create the feeling of the spiritual family? We don't need sexes like in this world, meaning it doesn't have to do with... it has nothing to do with our biological sex. But each of us has their ego, which is called the female part, and one can correct it, achieve its correction. It's still not a spiritual woman, but against that, one can also achieve the spiritual force of bestowal, which is called the male part, and to work with these two forces in order to build one's soul. The soul means to give birth to one's spiritual body. In the state of a spiritual society where everyone helps everyone to reach a state where we're more and more connected with this positive force of nature, how does a person relate to another person in that society that has opinions that are opposite to his, for example? What do you mean by opposite opinions? If in these opposite opinions he doesn't think of harming others, then it's not opposite. Suppose contradicting political views. I don't know about political, economical views, whatever field. Is it to the detriment of others or not? No, it's not to the detriment of anyone. I have a world view. Mister, it's incorrect. We have to examine all of these views, all of these inclinations in regard to our common goal of connection, that this is what obliges us. Are we sure that these opinions, these inclinations, views that exist in everyone support and lead us to the same goal where we all connect as one man in one heart? I didn't exactly understand, so I'll ask again. In this society that suppose is starting to advance to this place where people want to connect and to connect with this general positive good force, will people have disputes, differences in opinion? In principle, not really. How's that possible? You have two Jews, they have three opinions. What, suddenly they all have the same opinion? Because they have differences in opinion, because they have different opinions, they can rise above them toward one common goal. So there are differences in opinion to begin with, of course. So I'm repeating my question. Suppose we have different opinions about something and we're in a more advanced society than the one we're living in now, and we want to reach this connection, we want to feel like a spiritual family, and all those beautiful things you talked about. How do we now relate to our differences in opinion? Love covers for all crimes. Meaning, we have to examine whether your opinions and my opinions support our connection or they don't. And if they don't, then we throw them as quickly as possible and as far as we can. Can you give an example? I don't know. It's completely not important because it's clear to us what is that place where we have to be connected, and it is what determines for us how will we handle ourselves. It actually manages us, that future connection that we want to reach. And how do you relate to your opinion? I have no opinion, but that it supports that connection. I don't care about any opinions. I step on them, I throw them away. It only makes me happier that I scrutinize in me so many opinions that do not support our common connection, and then I gladly get rid of them. So I understand what Oren's asking, because actually when we look at the Israeli society, everything's boiling. Everyone throws in their opinion, their idea, and then everyone else slams them, and they slam them back. And it's on the media, it's everywhere. One big mess. Now, it's not that important who said what, but what Oren and I are trying to understand is, when we develop this special family feeling that you're talking about, what happens with all of these opinions and ideas? Do they straighten out in a certain direction? Are they reorganized somehow? They supplementing each other. Yeah, every negative opinion has its place, and upon it, we connect. There is a place for any opinion. Yes, otherwise it wouldn't appear in a person's mind. Okay, then what's the difference between someone else's opinion which is expressed in a positive way and an opinion which is expressed in a negative way that's destructive? Destructive, no, it's all in order to scrutinize. And maybe it's not destructive if we correctly examine it regarding our common goal. How do we examine? We already have to be in the common goal. And from there to see, what are these opinions that we feel in us right now, and to what extent are they capable of bringing us to the same goal? Previously, I asked you how to, in the biological family, it's simple, we know how to do it. How do we create a spiritual family, or a family that feels, a society that feels the ties of warmth and connection between them, of love? How do we do it? So you're saying that first of all, they have to have a common goal. It's education. It's a very broad, wide kind of education that includes the entire society and everyone, and from day to day, everyone's advancing by listening to different talks, getting different discernments, guidance, and so on. When people connect on the biological level in an ordinary family, they have different reasons. They depict the future. Suppose two people meet, they think, what kind of family would we like to have, how many children, how would we like to raise them, and so on. We have a mutual goal. We have a common vision to build a family cell. What is that common goal that you're talking about that will build us as a society, as a family cell? It's a goal where all of us are connected, united. It's the best, most comfortable state from all directions in this world. And the main thing, what we discover is the upper world. How can we enter it? How can we feel it? How can we live in it? Through our connection, we reach the next degree called Adam, man in Hebrew, from the word Dome Labore, meaning to be similar to the Creator. And then I feel a whole, complete, and eternal life where I have no limitations. I'm unlimited by anything. I don't live within my five senses, but a person lives in his five spiritual senses that give a person the ability to live in a completely different realm, as if disconnect from this world, as if this theater, this world disappears from me. I even cease to feel it, because the spiritual feeling suppresses the corporeal one, because it's lesser. This is what I feel. It's not that I disappear from this world, but life becomes far more precious. It's like comparing the eternal world with the lowly and temporary world. So, if I imagine the Israeli nation in a more advanced state in this direction you're talking about, what should I depict? What kind of country will we have here? If this is how we'll build, meaning what's the goal that I have to depict? What should the Israeli nation advance toward? The goal is that here we build the people of Israel in the land of Israel for them to be an example for the entire world. And from here, we give the guidance and set the example for all other nations, and we become the so-called light unto the nations. This is the destiny of the land of Israel and the people of Israel. And this way, everyone will agree to it. And this is also what it says in the Declaration of Independence, but I don't think it really worked out. So, what does it mean to be a society that's an example? What do they have? Love of others. Love of others that today, in the world market, in the European Union, in the United States, between countries, between nations, between people, doesn't matter where. Nothing's important besides the correct connection, a mutual connection, and this is possible to do only on condition that we change man's nature. And how to change man's nature, this is something that the Jews know how to do because they have the ability to open this force that changes nature, that instead of the egoistic nature, gives us a second nature, and then we exist between the two forms of nature, the positive and the negative together, and then between them, we'll be able to reach free choice. Life. That opposite the entire negative force, we have the positive force, and we, as human beings, control both of these forces. So to see if I get it, a society that will really be an example for all other societies in the world is a society in which there's love of others, the correct connection between people, and that's possible only if each person in that society changes their nature, right, from what to what? From the egoistic nature of using everyone else to my own benefit, that's primitive, little, beastly, what we see in this world. This is man's nature to begin with, yes. And it has to change to what? It's the nature of all people. The nature of a Jew is much worse. What do you mean? Because we used to be on a spiritual degree where we were all to the benefit of others, and we fell from that to a state where we're in the worst possible form of the ego, where we're doing everything to our own benefit, far beyond what the nations of the world do. This is the natural status. Yeah. And we have to change to what? We have to correct ourselves to like we used to be, where we were to the benefit of each other. Wait, this I didn't understand. To change to what? To being to the benefit of others, in favor of others, for everyone to have the desire to work in favor of others? Yes. And this method exists among us, that we draw, invite this positive force for it to control us. You can call it creator, upper force, doesn't matter how you call it. But this force dwells among us, and it brings us to the good, nice, and correct connection between us. Okay, I have children. It seems to me that naturally I want everything to their benefit. These are blood ties. Now, if I extend my point of view, I look at society. There's me, my family, and plenty of strangers living in my country. Millions. Now you're saying that in me, they're supposed to develop a desire to benefit a stranger? Of course, I have no such desire to benefit others, strangers. It'll come. When this desire to benefit others, when it will come, will it be different than the natural inclination that I have to benefit my children? It'll be much greater. Okay. What you just said sounds impossible, gently put. I agree. Even a bit delusional. I agree. You don't look like a delusional person. You seem 100% realistic. I'm telling you that it is possible to draw, to open this kind of faucet. And then, from there, comes the upper force that just like he has created us in the egoistic evil inclination, against that he will give us the other desire, which is called the altruistic force, the good inclination, and then we will be controlled by two forces, and not just that one that now dwells in me and controls me. That's how it is. And then all of us will feel that the others are as important to me as my dear beloved grandchild. That's how it is. This faucet that we can open and from it to draw into our life, this is the method called the wisdom of Kabbalah. And when this faucet opens, according to this method that you call the wisdom of Kabbalah, this force that comes from the faucet, does it change human nature, our most inner foundations? Yes. Okay, I suppose that it's not a personal process if we're talking on a social level. All of society has to connect to this faucet. Right. Where did the feeling of remoteness, of strangeness go? It disappears. Not before that, but by this force that suddenly fulfills all the voids between us, all the space between us, it's filled with a good attitude. Whether I like it or not, this becomes my attitude toward the other. A good attitude. Suddenly, I discover in you someone who's more important to me than I am. Why? Because this is what this force, how this force, forces you to be. Just like now, this force forces me without any reason to feel more important than you are. That's called natural. It's not natural. This is simply how we live. Yeah, but this is how we are from birth. Yes, but then it does the very opposite. It allows me to feel that you are more important to me than I am. Just to see if I understand the magnitude of the change you're talking about. We are creating a new creation here, like nature created us with a natural inclination to think about ourselves and our children, and that's it. Suddenly, there is a kind of a new created being here. Right, it's called Adam in Hebrew, man, a spiritual man. This is what we have to reach. And the spiritual man, when he looks at society, what does he see? He sees everyone as his parts, as part of himself, inseparable parts. Meaning it's far beyond being a family. It's not like being a family because there's nothing separating between us. So much so that nothing separates us. It's just like that I look at my body now. This is how he feels everyone else as a part of his body. This perceptual change is the prerequisite for having such a society where everyone's connected and wants to benefit each other. It's a result of this inner change. Yes, and this is why it'll work. Dr. Leitman, thank you very much. Thank you, Nitsa. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.